Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at Blog Talk Radio. .com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Special edition of Go Forward here, special Wednesday edition on this show. We're expected to be joining. We will be joined by Pro Bowl tight end of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Mercedes Lewis, who will stop by, talk about the offseason, talk about the lockout, and talk about the many things he's doing in the community. He's doing a lot of great things in the community, so we're going to talk to him about that. And we're going to dig into the archives, everybody. We're going to dig into the archives and pull out our interview with Herschel Walker that we did last year. Herschel talked about a lot of things, so make sure you stick around for that one. A lot of great things going on tonight in the world of basketball in the NBA. You got the Bulls and the Hawks playing tonight. Right now they're playing tonight. Things are going well for the Chicago Bulls. Derrick Rose got his MVP award tonight. So you knew he was going to play well. He got the MVP award. You know he's going to play well. But right now the Bulls are up early in that one. And also, nightcapper, Lakers Mavericks. And game two of that big series, and the Mavericks are up 1-0. And we shall see how that proceeds. But I like the Lakers in that series. Of course, I like the Lakers to win it all. Three-peat, baby. Three-peat. Is the name of the game. But we're going to bring in now Pro Bowl tight end Mercedes Lewis. We're now being joined by Pro Bowl tight end of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes, how are you, sir?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Not too much. Now, Mercedes, 5 years ago, your name was called during the NFL draft back in 2006. Tell us how it felt for you to be drafted, to hear your name called.
Well, I think for me, and I probably speak for everybody that has that great opportunity to be drafted, something you've been wanting to do and a dream you've been wanting to fulfill since you were a kid. And once I heard my name called, it was almost like a dream come true. You know, I felt like I was able to, I was put in a position to be able to take care of my family and definitely take care of myself for years to come. So it was a great feeling.
And now, Mercedes, your team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you guys, you took a quarterback, you took Blaine Gabbert. At this point, Coach Jack Del Rio says David Garrard is the starter. But have you seen any of Gabbert, or do you know anything about Gabbert?
Yeah, well, I was in and out of college football this year, you know, busy with our season. But I got to see him play a couple times, and he's definitely a big guy, a fast guy with a great skill set, strong arm, and definitely a smart guy. And I notice he makes good decisions with the ball. So he's definitely a guy that can come in and can compete right away.
And so, Mercedes, looking at last season for you, I mean, it had to be tough the way it ended. I mean, you guys were in great position to win the AFC South. You had a tough loss against the Colts and even worse loss against the Redskins. How tough was those two losses down the stretch for you guys?
I think the same as any loss. We take every loss, every win the same way. What you try to do is not get too high when you win or too low when you lose. You kind of want to stay even keel. But obviously those two losses down the stretch hurt us, and that's been one of our things the last couple of years is finishing strong. And that's going to be our focus this year. We have to be able to execute to the best of our ability down the stretch, and I think that's a big difference between the good teams and just the okay teams.
Right.
So what you mentioned, I couldn't agree more. It's a Jag team every year. It seems like you could do much better than you do. What's the missing link?
I don't think there's any missing links now. I think Gene has been doing a great job of getting great players with great character on our team. And, you know, we're just going to continue to build. Obviously, we have a young team with a good nucleus of guys that have been there for the last 4 or 5 years with me. Maurice Drew, Montel Owens, obviously Dave is a great leader. And then we have Daryl Smith at linebacker, Rasheem Mathis. So we have a good group of guys that are there helping to carry out the message. So this upcoming season should be a lot different.
And Mercedes, before the lockout happened, you did sign your franchise tag of $7.3 million, so you're signed up for a 2011 season. Obviously, you want a long-term deal, and that still could happen, but how happy are you to return to the Jaguars?
Oh, I love it, man. I love playing there. I love the guys that I work with. My coaches are stand-up guys, tell you like it is. Great character, man, just as we have on our team. You know, obviously, I love the working environment there, so I'm happy to be back. Obviously, I want this contract to work out so I can, you know that I have security there for the years to come. So I'm looking forward to that and getting the deal done.
We're talking to Mercedes Lewis, Pro Bowl tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Mercedes, 2010 was a breakout year for you. 58 catches, 700 yards, 10 touchdowns, and by the way, you were selected to the Pro Bowl. Talk about what you did in the offseason to make that happen.
Oh, man. It was a number of things. I think, first and foremost, continue to have faith. I think whenever you're coming out of college and you're an all-star and you don't have the tremendous success that you're used to right away, you tend to get down on yourself. But given the family I have and the support system that I have and the great players to push me in practice and the coaches to put me in positions to be a playmaker and be who I am and continue to have faith in me has been great. And I think this past offseason was just sharpening my tools, whether it be I'm a llama tall guy, so I have long legs and staying low and getting out of my breaks. You know, it's a challenge for us tall guys. So that's one of the things that I worked on, firing out, staying low and keeping leverage when I'm blocking guys. I think I just tried to work at every facet of my game. So when the season came, there would be no doubt. And obviously I'm going to continue to do that. You know, I'm not one of those guys that when you taste success, you kind of get complacent. I want it again. I don't want to be just a guy. I want to be a guy that is definitely a playmaker and a game changer that never misses the Pro Bowl again. That was a great experience.
Marcellus, I like the off-season and training, but this is a different off-season for every player in the NFL. And coming off of your last season, how do you now, like you just said, an all-pro and want to be perennial all-pro, do you prep differently? Are you worried about, you know, the strike from the side of football, not money-related, but, you know, continuing your career?
Oh, no, man. I think it just pushes me to work harder. I think every year, after every season, you want to assess where you are and what you need to do to continue to have an edge on your opponent. And obviously this year is a special year with all the stuff going on, so where we have so much time to get our bodies right, to get in things that are going to challenge you and keep your mind fresh at the same time. And that's why I'm doing MMA athletics training with Jay Glazer, Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Toby Gear at True Warrior Fit Gym, and that's one thing that has definitely put my mind in a different place.
And how difficult was that training? I mean, that's a whole different realm for you, correct?
Yeah, it is. It allows you to step outside the box. I think whenever you get comfortable, to be great, you want to get yourself in an uncomfortable position and be comfortable
right.
in that uncomfortable position. And
definitely.
You know, it's definitely something different. And if you don't have the mind frame for it, you won't be back after the first day. And so I've been there for about 2 weeks. I'm working all aspects, whether it be jiu-jitsu, boxing, grappling, Muay Thai. I'm doing everything. So it's definitely been a great experience. I'm in the best shape of my life right now, and I'm looking forward to letting it equate to the field.
And how would what aspects of that training will equate to the field?
For instance, the Muay Thai, the knees, the kicks, learning how
right.
to get your legs up. It works your fast twitch muscles where your hips are. And when you're in the field, when you're running, you're getting out of breaks, you're cutting, getting out of those breaks that much more faster, getting out of a three-point stand that much more faster, working
right.
your hands, your strikes. When guys coming up to jam you when you're lining up, batting their hands down, turning them around, spinning them, using it against them. So, and the jiu-jitsu part is just ridiculous. That's just using somebody's energy against them. And when you're blocking, you want those kind of tips and those kind of keys because, being a tight end, you're not going to always be bigger than the DNs you're blocking. But when you
right.
have good hands, good quick hands, and able to use their energy against them, you can become a better blocker. So, it's definitely things that I'm doing that's going to carry over to the field, and I'm excited to get to the field.
Do you see with the martial arts that it's making your reflexes faster? I mean, being a big guy, you had mentioned, you constantly have to, especially when you're blocking, stay low. And do you see the reflexes
right.
improving?
Oh, yeah. Think about it. When you're in that cage, it's one-on-one. It's mano-a-mano. You either live or you die. Okay, so when you're on that field, you're thinking two moves ahead. So I'm already thinking about what you could potentially do and do it before you even get there. You know, and that's just the mind frame you have to have. It's either you get the mind frame of you have to whip the guy across from you. It's one-on-one. I mean, football is the ultimate complementary game sport, but it's winning your one-on-one battles, and I won't be losing too many one-on-one battles.
We're talking to Mercedes Lewis, Pro Bowl tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Mercedes, the lockout ended for a couple days, and after the ruling yesterday in St. Louis, it is back on. What's your thoughts on this whole lockout stuff?
Oh, I tweeted yesterday. I said, ignorant issues I'm allergic to. They make me nauseous and they give me headaches. I'm tired of thinking about it, you know. I'm just tired of thinking about it. I think if the UFC and Strikeforce are able to come up with an agreement, and they don't make half the money that we do, we should be able to come up with an agreement so we can play some ball. I think after a while you get kind of tired of hearing about it. A lot of people are going to be affected by it, not just the players, but the economy is going to take a hit, especially where those cities where a football team is all they have, i.e. Jacksonville. You got guys
right.
or, you got people that come out, that work at the stadium, they cook for us, they sell tickets. You have people that count 6 months out the year, that being their income and that being their job. And that's putting them in jeopardy as well. So it's kind of, I just feel like it's selfish, and we need to figure something out because we need to get back on that field.
You, Marcellus, talk about the fact that and one of the big things I talk about on the show oftentimes is how the NFL has, I think, forgotten that this is really their issue. The players they don't want to strike. You mentioned the business partners to the NFL and all the people now that are not working. This is the NFL's problem to deal with, and it's as if they turn a blind eye and yet make the players the bad guys because, you know, they're trying to make a negotiation. How tough is it for you, a player, to sit by and say, we just want to fair deal and get back to playing football? We didn't ask to be locked out.
Well, that's what it is, and I think, first and foremost, we let everybody know when we're asked, it's not a strike. A strike is given we don't want to play. It's a lockout because the owners are locking us out. You know, they want us to take a pay cut. We're not trying to have that. You know, we just want to play football. You know, we're trying to work out a deal that's already been in place for previous years. We're just trying to figure it out so we can get back to playing football. And I think it sucks because we're looking like the bad guys and the guys that are greedy and being selfish because we don't want to take a deal when, in fact, they're asking us to take an 18% pay cut. And at
Definitely.
The same time, not showing us what's in their pockets and why are we being asked to take this big cut.
In a league where you're the only, and the facts are so clear, the NFL is one of the only leagues where, and because of the revenue sharing, none of the teams are losing money, where the NBA has so clear losses.
Yeah, like that. And that's the problem. How are we going to try to negotiate and figure something out when you won't even show us what we're supposedly losing or what you're supposedly losing? You know, when you make a deal and you sit down at the table, everything is brought out. Show me what we're looking at and show me what we're working with. You know, and if that's being kept a secret, how do you expect us to even be like, okay, like we can make a deal when we don't even know what we have in the first place?
I think that's a great point that you make. Great point that you make. And Marseilles, I want to switch gears to the NBA playoffs now. You played college basketball during your time at UCLA. You know the game of basketball. The NBA playoffs to this point have been great. And I saw you tweeting the other night about the Memphis-San Antonio Spurs game and that happened
right.
on Friday night. What were your thoughts on what happened with the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs? Zach Randolph has been
man.
A beast.
Yeah, I mean, that's one word right there. I think Zach Randolph is who they lay their hat on every night to go out there and be consistent and get those points. And he's a matchup problem for a lot of people because he's deceptive and really good with his body and can score from anywhere on the floor. And I think that whole series was just a case of the Spurs being a little bit too old. I think they were looking for their star players on their team to get them, you know, get them energy and get them points, but it happened too late. I think Memphis played great defense and great team ball together, and they were just a little more scrappier than the Spurs were.
At this point, Marseilles, I mean, you got a lot of big series going on now. Out east, you got the Celtics and the Miami Heat. How do you see that one playing out?
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's going to be the Celtics or the Heat's daddy, but we're going to find out. I think as long as Dwayne Wade and LeBron continue to carry that team, throw Boston in the mix up, and then have their guys off the bench. They need bench scoring. If they bring their guys off the bench and they do their jobs, I think the Heat can take this one. The Heat have been winning games this year from their defense. It hasn't been
right.
tremendously scoring from their offense. It's been their defense that's been winning them games and their ability to close at the end of games. So we're going to see. I think it'll probably go six, the Heat.
And I agree.
Wow. Paul's a big Heat guy. I like the Celtics. I think that Rondo – I actually think it's going to be Rondo and Paul Pierce will
yeah.
be matchup problems.
But see, that's – I mean, I like Rondo. He's good for their system and what he does for that team. But there's a way that you can guard Rondo. Rondo likes to get to the paint. He likes to get out in transition. So if you can stop the transition points – guard Rondo with a long-handed spoon and let him go and shoot them three-pointers, shoot them jumpers, and keep him out the key, there can be a problem.
And now Marseilles. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, it's interesting because who's going to guard Rondo, though? It's not going to be Chalmers, so who are they going to commit to locking him down?
Okay, so this is what we have to look at. What would it take to lock Rondo down? Keep him out the key, because he's like one of those he's like a quarterback that's a running quarterback that wants to run. So if you try to flush him out the pocket, he's comfortable. If you keep him in the pocket, he's uncomfortable and he's padding the ball and he's gonna take sacks. So if you keep Rondo out there outside of the key, outside by the 3-point line, he's gonna be looking to drive, and when he can't do that, I feel like it's going to be problems. It's going to be interesting, man.
So you see them maybe thinking, like, trying to use D-Wade a little more, someone that's got someone that can kind of strong on him and maybe move him around where he doesn't want to go?
I think they're gonna switch up different looks on him. I think how the Lakers played Chris Paul when they were sending Fisher out there, then Artest, then Kobe, then they would bring in Blake. Just show him different looks, and I think that'll confuse him a little bit and kind of disrupt their offensive flow, because their offense is all about flow. And when he's able to get out in transition and make behind the back passes to Ray Allen, he's just shooting threes in rhythm, then there's a problem.
Right. And I think that's going to be the key. Can the Miami Heat keep Rondo out the paint? It's not necessarily Rondo scoring in the paint, but you got Rondo dishing off the Pierce. All those driving kick.
Right.
If he's getting into the lane and dropping it off the Pierce and Ray Allen, it's going to be a problem for the Heat. But I think Rondo is the key. How they guard Rondo is going to be the key on whether or not the Miami Heat win the series. But I agree the Miami Heat will ultimately win this series. I agree with Drew Mercedes. And now looking at the rest of this NBA playoffs, Mercedes, when it's all said and done, you got the Lakers who have repeated. I think they'll get the three-peat. I think they'll beat the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. Who do you think will walk home with the 2011 NBA championship?
Well, I've been a Lakers fan since I was four. So, obviously, I'm going with the Lakers. I feel like our depth and who we have on our team, leading our team, we got one of the best big men to ever play the game. You can use both hands on either side of the basket over each shoulder. You got Kobe Bryant, who's the best on the planet. I mean, you can't beat that, man. And I feel like, yeah, we may get tired from time to time and maybe lose a game or here and there, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to go through the Lakers to beat the Lakers. And I'm not quite sure if you can beat the Lakers in a seven-game series. It's just not going to happen.
Kobe's ankle doesn't scare you?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
I'm sorry, does Kobe's ankle, does it scare you a little bit?
Kobe is a guy that's been playing through pain for a few years now. And when I saw what he did with that finger, with that elbow last year, and able to win that championship and how they did it, nothing surprises me. Kobe sprained his ankle, and then the next day he skies over a guy with the right hand and skies over another guy with the left hand. So you don't know what to think.
And Mercedes, you're a guy who does a lot of work in the community. You have the Mercedes Lewis Foundation going on. Tell us about your foundation.
Oh, man, the foundation. We started the foundation about 3 years ago. It was designed to help inner-city kids and raise money for them to earn scholarships. And so, you know, right now we have a casino night that we did in March. And I have my camp coming up on the 18th of June. That's a free camp. And, yeah, you know, I like to get all the kids involved and get them good coaching, teach them life skills, sportsmanship. And, you know, we're trying to figure out different ways and brainstorm different ways to continue to raise money to send kids to college. And it's something that's always been a dream of mine. Obviously, when you grow up in the inner city, you understand what it's like and how much you would want to give back if you were ever put on that platform to do that. And I'm definitely blessed to be on that platform to give back. I enjoy helping kids and helping people in general and just seeing the smiles on their faces. So, you know, my foundation is something that I can lay my hat on and continue to help people even after football, continue to help people. And wherever I can get in and fit in and help, I'm there.
And where can we find out more information about Mercedes Lewis and this foundation?
MercedesLewisFoundation.org, and I just recently launched my website last week, MercedesLewis.com. You can follow me at MercedesLewis89. Check it out. It's always good information. It's always real. I'll give it to you straight. And I got a lot of good things coming up in the future to continue to help.
And I was snooping around on that website the other day, Mercedes, and I see you're trying to get into modeling?
Nah, man, that's just a little something that I threw on there, man. Honestly, I don't limit myself. So there's pictures on there. If ever I'm approached about work, I'm more than willing to do it. It's just something that I have fun with, though, and it actually came out good.
Well, Mercedes, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. 2011 season will happen. It's just a matter of time of when. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck with that, nothing but the best of luck with your foundation. Keep doing good work in the community. And we would love to do it again sometime down the road, sir.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Mercedes Lewis, Pro Bowl tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, again, make sure you go to his website, MercedesLewis.com. It's a nice little website for your females out here. This cat's out there showing his body in various pictures. He's a big guy and a diesel guy. So for your females, maybe you could check that out. But the man is doing some great things in the community, and that needs to be applauded and that needs to be spotlighted. So shout out to Mercedes Lewis for doing some big things in the community and getting it done in the community. Again, it was a pleasure talking to the great Mercedes Lewis, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck in the regular season, the 2011 season. And it will happen, everybody. I guarantee it. It will happen. 2011 will happen. There will be an NFL season. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Everything will be all right. Just all right. Just you wait and see. Now, I wanted to go back now and dig into the archives, if you will, and replay an interview that we had a few months back with the great Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker stopped on by and kind of previewed the fight that he was about to have. Right now, Herschel's in mixed martial arts, and he talked about his upcoming fight that he was having and the fight that he ended up winning. He won in the first round, won very easily. But we talked to Herschel before that fight, and we got his thoughts about that fight, about his career, and a bunch of other things. Check it out.
We're now being joined by former NFL star running back and now Strikeforce mixed martial arts fighter, Herschel Walker. Herschel, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Herschel. Herschel, we'll get to the fight in a minute. Real quick, you started your career off in the USFL, and you were a guy who dominated the USFL, and you hold a single-season professional football rushing record. And rushing over 2,000 yards. Talk about your time in the USFL.
Well, I really loved it. I enjoyed it a great deal. I thought that it was a great league. Had a lot of great talent in it. You know, you had the likes of Reggie White, the Steve Young, the Jim Kelly, and you know, I loved being in New York. You know, I loved the New York area, and I really, really enjoyed being in the USFL.
And like you said, you talked about the talent that was in the USFL. And people tend to forget that guys like Reggie White and Steve Young and Gary Clark and Sam Mills, to name a few. Those were the guys who were there. Talk about the amount of talent that was there in the USFL.
Well, you know, the way I can tell people about the talent is when the USFL went on, the NFL Pro Bowl, which was the following year, was made up of, I think, 65% of the Pro Bowl was USFL guys. So that just tells you that the type of talent that the USFL had, that the majority of the Pro Bowl players were USFL guys.
And Herschel, it's interesting you mentioned how the following year, how many USFL, former USFLers, go into the Pro Bowl. How well competitively would the USFL have held up against the NFL? You know, in terms of going, if it would have stayed in a broader, you know, if you weren't being pushed into that NFL?
Well, yeah, you know, I think there was a couple of teams that could have been very competitive. Yeah, I don't know if all the teams could have been very competitive, but there was a lot. I think there was two or three teams that could have been competitive. And if you think about it, when the USFL went on, the NFL, I think, may have added two or three more teams. So they could have taken maybe the USFL team, but I think there was so much animosity between the USFL and the NFL that the NFL really didn't want to add any more teams. So they ended up adding teams after the USFL went on them. But I think that was a couple of teams that could have been competitive.
And now, Herschel, after the USFL folded, you went on to join the Dallas Cowboys, where you continued your success. Talk about the transition going from the USFL to the NFL.
Well, you know, that was a big transition because there was no doubt the USFL didn't have the quality of talent the NFL had. You know, there were some spots where the USFL was a little bit weaker. But one thing that people don't know about the USFL is that USFL was the reason that the NFL started paying $1 million contract. Before the USFL came about, that was not a player in the NFL making $1 million until the USFL came about. So that was a difference in the level of talent, because when you step into the NFL, most every position had a very, very tough competitor. Every position, you were not going to find an NFL team that didn't have a tough competitor at that position. So you had to have yourself together.
Right, and you know, and it's interesting, Herschel. It's interesting because I think you bring up you know, the salaries of the USFL, and you make the jump that the NFL really, that was the draw, was in order to get players like yourself and the great players from the USFL to stay there. They recognized they had to pay on the same scale that attracted certain players to the USFL. In making that jump, when you say it was different, and you mentioned the depth of the NFL, but for a player like yourself or guys like Steve Young and Reggie White, was it just getting used to a broader league, or was it more competitive in terms of, you know, the players?
Well, I think it was more competitive in terms of the players, not just broader league, but the players itself, because, you know, the NFL, you know, they have been around a long time. So the NFL bought a lot of credibility. You know, when you talk about the salary, you really got to talk about the individual player there, because the individual player looking what's going to be best for himself. And, you know, some teams pay, you know, on a team, they may pay one or two guys very good money, but then on a whole, some of the guys are not making that type of money. Whereas the NFL, they do the same thing, but the quality of talent is going to be a little bit better.
And you ended up spending 4 years in Dallas, and ultimately you were traded. And I know you get asked about the trade to Minnesota all the time. The Vikings gave up 5 players, 6 draft picks. And things really didn't work out too well for you there. And to your defense, many believe, including myself, that you really weren't used the right way in Minnesota. Talk about your time with the Vikings.
Well, you know what's so funny? I tell everyone, I think probably one of the most talented teams I ever played on in my life, just sheer talent, was probably my first year in the NFL. I think we had one heck of a talented team, but we didn't play together as a unit. So if you don't play together as a unit, you're not going to win that many games. I think you look at some of the teams right now, you look at the Cowboys where they're playing right now. They're not playing together. They're making too many mistakes. But when I went to Minnesota, I tell you, Minnesota was an excellent, excellent place to be. The people there, and I've told people many times, I think Minnesota is a hidden secret. That's one of the best places I ever lived in my life. The people were at Lee. They were so, so nice to me. And like you said, it was a situation that just didn't work out. I think I was coaches didn't like me, and I will be honest about it. When management brought me in, the coaches didn't know anything about it. They didn't know what was going on. So all of a sudden they lose 5 of their guys that's playing for them and lose some of their draft picks, and then they get 1 player. So it was a situation that just didn't work out too well. And I had fun there. The people there were extremely, extremely nice. And I ended up having the opportunity to go play with Philadelphia, which I had a chance to play with Reggie White and Randall Cunningham, which I really enjoyed that.
You know, and it's interesting you mentioned this, especially in this week with Minnesota. And I'd like for you, putting yourself in, like you said, the shoes where the coaching staff and the front office, they gave up such a tremendous amount for you. And if anything, it was like built for you to fail. And look at the situation now that just occurred with Randy Moss in Minnesota, where he's brought in and the coach is, you know, wasn't on board with him. And how difficult is it for players of your caliber, who are the franchisees, to walk in and day one and be expected to do and bring in, you know, a championship, but there's 10 other guys underneath you?
Well, you know what it is you know, athletes want to be athletes. All they want to do is go out and perform. They want to play. And, you know, you expect the coaches to want them to play. But I go back to my situation, I just think that the coach was not happy about it. And, you know, they were just not happy about losing all those draft picks, and the management didn't tell them what was going on, and they were not happy about it. Now, you look at the situation with the Randy Moss, and I've said this many times. Now, you know, you can say what you want about Brett Favre. Brett Favre still got the talent to play this game. But then you look at Percy Harvin. You look at Randy Moss. Then you look at, you know, one of the best running backs in the league. And you're going to tell me right now, you put those guys out on the field, you can make your plays vanilla. That means very simple, those guys are going to score some points. Well, that wasn't happening. So you look at it and say, what's going on? That's got to be the coaches, because those guys got too much talent and they got too much skill to tell me that you can't put together a great game plan for them to go out and beat people. So there's something else going on besides just the players.
And Herschel, and speaking of that, if you were utilized a little better in Minnesota, do you think the end result would have been a lot better?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because it's not a one-player game. It's a team game. You know, I could have went out
right.
and performed well and got a lot of great yards and got more yards, but then we still could have been losing. So you really got to say if the team, we got to perform better. I think if I had performed better and really may have lifted up the team in some ways, maybe it would have been a little bit different. But who knows? But it's got to be a team. And I think that's what is so different about this MMA. And I told someone, I said, what's weird is in football, I can make a mistake. I can make a mistake, and you know, I may have a receiver, I may have an offensive lineman or a quarterback that may cover for me that no one will ever know I made a mistake. But in this MMA fighting, if I make a mistake, you may see me knocked out or you may see me in an arm bar getting hurt out there. So, you know, you really got to be on your P's and Q's.
We're talking to Herschel Walker, former NFL running back and now Strikeforce mixed martial art fighter. And Herschel, eventually you retired in 1997, and you finished your career 8th in all-purpose yardage. With your numbers, in your mind, do you believe you're a Hall of Famer?
Well, there's no doubt I think I'm a Hall of Famer. You know, you talk about I'm 8th in combined yards and everything. I think when I retired, I was even higher. And at the same time, they're not even counting.
You retired.
Yes, and they're not even counting my USFL yards. They didn't even look at those, which is fine. But then just to be 8th, you're saying, is that not incredible itself? And not only that, they forget about that I think I had over 500 catches. Not too many running backs have that. And so I said, I think I am a Hall of Fame material, but then it's not up to me. It's up to the people that vote, and that's what's so weird is you get into the politics of it, and that's when it becomes very, very sticky, when you get into the politics of everything.
And you know, Herschel, I mean, so many people know of your attitude, how things just seem not to matter and to bother you the way maybe they should or could other athletes. And sometimes I wonder, because your career, when you look at it, even team by team and year by year, it's definitively a Hall of Fame career. But Herschel Walker, the athlete, and Herschel Walker, the person, was just he was such a positive person, almost as like he was never really – you were never really given the accolades you deserved because you never really looked – you never really sought them. You weren't a flashy guy. You weren't you answer questions. You were always polite. You never caused problems. So it's almost as if the body of work you did was passed up because of how nice you were.
Well, you know, there's no doubt. The person that squeaky will get the oil, and was for myself. You know, and not to put anyone else down, I was very blessed in my life. My parents, I'm fortunate that my parents are still alive, but they also taught me a lot of discipline. They taught me a lot of respect. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and try to prove that I'm someone else. I'm myself. And at the same time, I've told people many times, when I came into this league, or even when I went to college, I said I wanted to be a great athlete. Whether that's going to be a running back, whether that's going to be a receiver, wherever they put me, I was going to go out there and perform. Because people do not know, when I first came to the Cowboys, you know, they had Tony Dorsett, who is considered one of the best running backs ever to play. Well, Coach Landry moved me out, and I played receiver. I played a lot of different positions. And, you know, right before I got out of this game, I was leading the league in kickoff return. So I wanted to prove that I'm just an athlete. I'm not just a football player. I'm an athlete that can do a lot of different things.
And speaking of that, you being the athlete, you actually went out for the bobsled team. And talk about that experience.
Well, you know, it was something that was very different. You know, Willie Gault, who's from Griffin, Georgia, and Willie Gault also was someone that I've known for years. He played for the Chicago Bears. Willie Gault was, he mentioned something to me about being on a bobsled team, and I just told him I'd do it. Being an athlete, you volunteered, you'll do anything. And I really didn't know what the bobsled was. I didn't really think he was ever going to call me about it. But then when he called me to come up to Lake Placid to try it for the team, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I thought I'd go up there not knowing what I was going to do. And I went up there making the team. and I had a chance to be on the Olympic team and then had a chance to be the best pusher for the United States. And I tell you, I've never wanted to cry before in my life until I was at the opening ceremonies. I tell you, I was so blessed to have an opportunity to represent my country. And that's one reason I say all the time that we got to take our hats off to our men and women out of the military, because they are doing something for this country. You know, I've had an opportunity to play football, to do a lot of these different sports, which is great. That's a game. But these guys are laying their life on the line all the time for this country. And I think that is absolutely incredible.
And, Herschel, you were roundly criticized at the time when you decided to try out for the bobsled team, and ultimately when you made the bobsled team back in 1992. Did the criticism at all hurt you?
Not at all, you know, because, you know, when I was growing up, I used to have a speech impediment. I was a little bit overweight. I was a little bit what they call big bone or chubby or fat or whatever you want to call me. But what was strange about all that, at that time, words really hurt me a great deal. But I got over it and learned that, you know what, you can't worry about what people think about you, because those people thinking about you, they're not thinking about themselves. So for myself, I just started doing my thing, not worried about what people are going to say, because there's always, always going to be someone that's not happy, no matter what you're doing. I don't care if you're doing something very positive. There's always going to be someone that's not going to be happy.
You know, Herschel, I think it's an interesting segue for you to mention that. And I jumped on, and I kind of interrupted Paul. I want you to talk about how therapeutic, if you will, and how positive it was for you to write your book. I mean, certainly there are millions of people read it, myself included, and it was to read that. I mean, to know Herschel Walker here is this tremendous athlete who's done everything in football and then moves into bobsledding, and to see that this person, and the more we get to hear of you, you're such a positive person, and you've overcome so much, and sometimes it's very interesting to hear like a great person such as yourself speak as the common man.
Well, you know, I think the problem we have is everyone thinks that we're not human. But, you know, everyone falls short of the glory of God. And I think the problem is we all have problems. We all have problems, but some people hide their problems. And I wrote my book to say, God, there's no shame to admit that if you're suffering from something, and, you know, I never drank, never had a drug, but if you're suffering from alcohol or drugs, that may not be your problem, maybe something much deeper. Or if you have a problem, don't be ashamed to admit you have a problem, you know, and not to get on to something that I don't know that much about, but you look at the young man that killed himself in Denver. Now, we don't know the whole situation there, but no one knew what was going on with him. No one knew what was going on with him, but he may have been suffering that no one ever took the time to ask him one day, are you doing okay? I never took the time to spend time with him to see if he's doing okay. And that's what I came out in my book to say, we all have problems, but let's not be ashamed to get those problems taken care of. The embarrassment is to injure yourself or to injure someone else, but you shouldn't be ashamed to get your problem taken care of.
And Herschel, I think it's always interesting in regards to piggybacking off of what you said. For someone such as yourself to come out and do it, one of the things I thought about, certainly when I was reading your book, is you certainly cannot be the only professional athlete, not even now broader in terms of football, professional athlete or celebrity, to be suffering from something that is certainly severe. How was it risky for you in your mind to come out and write, you know, about something that many people believe is a difficult disorder, and people will label you, you know, and I certainly am, you know, trouble with finding the right words. You don't want it to seem offensive, but it was.
It's not offensive, because people say it's a mental illness, it's anything like that, and I say, you know what? It's not a mental illness. What it is someone I had a problem. I had a problem that I needed to get taken care of, and you know, I'm not the only one. You know, you're talking to someone that, you know, people don't even know, or you guys may know. I own a flu company. And I'm probably the largest minority-owned chicken company in the United States. And I've been doing this food company for over 10 years. So when I came out with my book, I was building my company. But I didn't stop building my company. And at the same time, I tell guys all the time, you look at the things I've done on the athletic field. You look at what I continue to do in the business world. You look that I've spoken in front of Congress I don't know how many times on the obesity thing. But then I come right back after doing my book, getting into this MMA world. And I said, guys, that doesn't mean that you have a mental illness. And you know, I make light of it, but there are some people that are suffering a lot worse than I am that I'm saying, guys, do not be ashamed of it. Come out and try to get help, because I tell them all the time, do our Lord Jesus Christ have a mental illness? Because he said he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To me, those are three different personalities. So, you know, we're not so much different than he is. But what we got to do is quit putting others down and try to build them up. One of the problems we have all the time is putting our kids down. You know, he is no good. You know, he's bad. He's never going to do anything. Why don't you say something positive about it? Why don't you say, you know what, that wasn't right, but you know what, you can do better than that. I got better high hopes for you than that. Why don't we build him up? You know, I have a little boy. He's 11, and he want to be a gymnast. He is working so hard to be a gymnast. He really feels that he's going to be an Olympic gymnast. Well, I assume he's going to grow at my size, and I've never seen an Olympic gymnast 6'2", 220 pounds. So I've just taken it on myself to say, guys, in the next couple of years, you may see a 6'2", 220-pound gymnast in the Olympics, because I'm not going to tell him he can't do it, because I believe if I don't tell him he can't do it, he's going to do it. And I think that's what we got to do to our young people. That's what we got to do to our fellow man. Is quit putting them down, build them up, and I think this country is going to be better.
And speaking of that, Herschel, you're a guy at the age of 48. Now you're an MMA. You're well known for your conditioning, man. You're obviously in tip top shape. You're 48 years old. You got a body of a 21 year old. What is the secret?
Well, the secret is just continue to work. You know, I continue to work. You know, I continue just to believe in myself, to love myself. You know, when T.O. said I love me some T.O., all the reporters thought he was arrogant, and I said, you know, he's correct. You got to love yourself. You got to love who you are, but you got to be willing to pay the price. And what I mean by that, you got to be willing to be the best you can be. You know, life is going to be hard. Life is going to be tough. And I'm not going to say things are always going to go your way. You're going to have some dark days. But just know it's going to be okay. And that's what I do. I just know it's going to be okay. Continue to look up, and I'm going to go up.
And Herschel, talk about the preparation for mixed martial arts. I know you're a black belt in Taekwondo. But talk about the preparation for mixed martial arts in comparison to football. Is it a little harder?
Oh, yeah, it is much harder. It was much harder because, like I said, in football, you know, I can make a mistake, and I have those receivers or those offensive linemen or that quarterback that may cover up for my mistake. But then all of a sudden in mixed martial arts, if I make a mistake, you may see me knocked out or you may see me in an arm bar. And I'll submit it. So you can't make those little mistakes that you can make in football. And at the same time, you know, martial arts, mixed martial arts, is a combination of judo, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing. You know, so it's five different arts rolled up into one. So it's a very difficult sport.
Herschel, why now?
Like I said, we talk about your age. You are age 48. How long do you go with this?
Well, you know, I don't know. And you said, why not? And I said, why not? You know, I've never seen where they said just because you're getting up in age that you should not be able to do anything. I think that's a bunch
right.
of crap. I've told people for many times, the only reason the NFL say you're getting too old because they don't want to pay you. Whenever you start getting up in age, people don't realize that the team have to pay you a little bit more than they have to pay a younger guy because of the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL. Well, they start saying you're getting too old when you can still get the job done. But Jerry Rice left San Francisco and went to Oakland. He still led the Oakland team and also led was in the top as a receiver. But Joe Montana
right.
even left the 49ers, went to the Kansas City. He still started and played very well. Brett Favre is still performing very well. Last week, even though he may have had a couple of interceptions, he got through for almost 500 yards. So whenever they say that you're getting too old, what that means is that they don't want to pay you any more money. So they want to get rid of you because they want to get a younger guy that they can pay less to.
And will this be the wave of the future, guys? I mean, you got to have guys like Bernard Hopkins, 45 years old, who's still fighting. Vander Holyfield in his 40s, still fighting. Will this be the wave of the future, guys competing in athletics well into their 40s?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether it'll be the way of the future, or it may just be that we're trying to just let everyone know that, you know, if these guys that's in their 40s have been telling their wives that they're aching and they're sore and they can't do it, that that's not the truth. They can still get up and they can still get the job done. You just got to be willing to work and just do it. You know, that slogan, just do it, is true. You know, things are not going to go your way, but every morning get up, ready to get it going, and just get the job done.
It's interesting, Herschel, because you make mention to, you know, your success in business. You make mention to the Olympic experience, certainly your success in the NFL and the USFL. And now, you know, as Paul says, age 48, you walk into what many will perceive as, this is not exactly, and you even said, it's not an easy sport to be in. One wrong move and you could have some serious injury. Some say it's a thrill-seeker mentality. My question is, I mean, what's there for Herschel to prove in the MMA environment, other than to himself?
Well, you know, that's what it is. It's proving it to myself. I always, when I came into college football, when I left home and went to Georgia, I said I wanted to be a great, great athlete. I never said I wanted to be a great football player, and that's what people didn't understand. I wanted to be a great athlete. You know, when I was in Georgia, I ran track as well as played football. I fought in martial arts tournament as well as played football. And when I went into the USFL, you know, I still was doing martial arts as I was playing football. When I went to Dallas, I was doing martial arts, doing different things as I was playing football. Well, I've always wanted to be considered as a great athlete. Well, I've had the opportunity now to step into a sport, which I think is one of the toughest sports out there, and to compete. And I'm competing at the highest level, you know, in my camp there, a.k.a. in San Jose. I got some of the best fighters in the world, and I'm having an opportunity to do that.
You know, and Herschel, one quick thing, because it bears note, and I think you'll speak on it, which is, does this sport keep you humbled? Does this, because one of the things we keep hearing from you is a very humble guy. And I think this sport, like, from what I hear from you, is you're trying to find things centered around pieces of your life that will ground you and keep you very humble.
Well, this sport does keep you humble because, you know, I'm a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. But when I first came to AKA, I left that black belt outside because I was stepping into a whole different arena. And I stepped into that gym just like I was a brand-new fighter, not knowing anything. And, you know, when I was in the gym the very first week, I had a 175-pound guy putting me in an armbar because I didn't know exactly what I was doing. And that's what you have to do. You have to be humble. You have to have respect. And that's what I did.
And, Herschel, you signed with Strikeforce back in 2009. You had your first fight in 2010. I heard something interesting on that telecast where you stated to one of the announcers talked about it, that if MMA was around when you were younger, you would have chosen that over football. Talk about that.
Well, you know, it's a sport that I think is a very fierce sport. I absolutely love it. And, you know, the money ain't in it like it was in football. But I think if it was around during football, it may have been something that I may have jumped in and gave it a shot. You know, I'm that type of athlete that's always doing something people don't expect, and I do it all the time.
And you're definitely doing it now. I mean, and in the past, Herschel, you've been known for the push-ups and the sit-ups. Have you added other stuff to your workout regimen?
Well, you know, I'm doing all the dips, all the type of conditioning that I've always have done, but the push-ups, the sit-ups are things that I continue to do, so I'm always doing it.
And it's obviously by the way your body is looking, it's definitely paying off. Now, your fight is on December the 4th at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, and it airs on Showtime at 10 o'clock. This bout, you're fighting against Scott Carson, a former WEC fighter. What can we expect from Scott Carson, and what can we expect from you in this fight?
Well, you know, Scott has been fighting, but he's been training for a long time. You know, I wanted a guy that's got more experience than the very first guy I fought, but, you know, I didn't know he's going to have this much experience. Scott, he's been training for a long time. I think he's had about five fights. He's 4-1, and in one fight that he did lose to, he lost to a guy that was undefeated. So I expect Scott, he's a very good wrestler, very good ground guy, And I expect him to come out and ready to fight because, you know, being who I am, you know, there's no doubt I have a target on my head that people want to go in there, they want to take me out. But for myself, I expect me to go out and I'm going to be on offense. You know, I go out, I said, this is not a game. This is a sport that I love. So it's going to be a great fight.
And you beat in your first fight, you fought Greg Nagy. Talk about the rush that you had going into that fight and being in the actual cage during a fight.
You know, I told someone, I said, you know, when you're walking down that little ramp and you step into that cage and you hear that click, you know this is for real. It's for real because the guy across from me, he's not like the guy in the gym that, you know, you're wearing headgear, you have your different pads on. This guy here is ready to take your head off. This guy here want to take you down. He want to beat you up. And so you got to be ready to go. So that rush of me saying, hey, guys, it's time now to step it up. It's time to get it on. And I said, it's time to go for it. So and that's what I wanted to do.
Now, Herschel, we every time we have a fighter or on our show, we like to ask for a little prediction. So can we get a prediction on December 4th on what's going to happen?
December 4th, Herschel Walker is going to be 2-0. He's going to win this fight, and he's going to win it impressively because one of the things is I say I gotta be a little better than I was the last time. And not taking anything away from Scott, but, you know, I come to win. I don't do anything to lose. I come to win.
And, Herschel, we wish you nothing but the best of luck on December 4th, and we thank you for stopping by here tonight, sir. It was greatly appreciated, and again, nothing but the best of luck in this upcoming fight.
Well, thank you. Thank you, guys, for having me on.
Oh, take care, Herschel.
All right, yeah,
Herschel Walker,
you.
Former NFL running back, now mixed martial arts fighter. And the show is on December 4th at the Scotts Trade Center in St. Louis. It's going to air live on Showtime at 10 o'clock. The main event in that particular fight is Dan Henderson going up against Babalu Sobral in a light heavyweight bout. Also, Paul Daly faces Scott Hands of Steel Smith. You have Herschel Walker going up against Scott Carson. You have Ruthless Robbie Lawler going up against Matt DeLaw Lindland. And last, you have Antonio Bigfoot Silva against Valentin Overeem. And those are five big bouts on that Showtime card. And the main event is Babalu Sobral against Dan Henderson. So that should be a great card on Showtime. And it should be interesting to see what Herschel has in store for that fight.
And there you have it. Herschel Walker. It was a great interview with Herschel. And Herschel did win that fight. Actually, the fight was canceled. It was postponed. And they actually fought again. Couple months later, Herschel got the W, first round knockout, in easy fashion. Herschel Walker won the fight. He is 2-0, and Herschel Walker, 48 years old, is a beast. And if you talk to Herschel, it was interesting talking to the guy. You're very inspired by some of the things he talks about, some of the things that he overcame to become Herschel Walker. He talked about a lot of things in that interview, and it was great talking to Herschel Walker. And again, we wish Herschel Walker nothing but the best of luck moving forward with his career. And there was also some talk. Herschel was talking about playing football again, saying he could play football again. And if Herschel says it, then I believe it, because the guy, he has a way of just defying all the odds. He defied them throughout his life. And he's defying them now by being able to step into the ring, mixed martial arts, at the age of 48. Herschel Walker's an amazing guy. We want to thank Mercedes Lewis for stopping by, and make sure you check out his website, MercedesLewis.com. Support what he's doing, as he's doing a lot of great things in the community. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGin. On Saturday, we're expected to be joined by Houston Rockets point guard Kyle Lowry. Kyle had a great year, so make sure you check that show out. And we may have a few other guests as well. So make sure you check it out Saturday, 1 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/PGin. And make sure you follow this show on Twitter @GoForItGin. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Go For It Again on Twitter. Follow the show, please, 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 please. Again, we want to thank Mercedes Lewis, and again, it was a pleasure replaying that interview with Herschel Walker. Check us out Saturday, 1 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/PKN. See you later. Bye.